With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Joe Hoft on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Joe Hoft from The Joe Hoft Show. Glad you're here. And yeah, thanks for listening in. What a day we've had. What a 24 hours. It's actually been historic. It's we've seen things happen that have never happened before in U.S. history. The amount of corruption in the Biden administration, as well as the Clinton administration, as well as the Obama administration, is just at levels never imagined. And we learned more the levels that they'll go through to get what they want, basically. Last night, President Trump was indicted, as many of you already know. I was on a show last night explaining the whole situation. And perhaps I could share some more of that. I've been studying a lot of these crooks for a very long period of time. And there's quite a bit to the story. I was there, as many of you know as well, if you've been listening to the show, I was there at Mar-a-Lago on the night of the raid. I went down there and I remember standing out front, seeing the people with machine guns standing in the president's driveway, not allowing any cars in or out of Mar-a-Lago. And I remember saying to myself at first, and then later to Dr. Gina on The Real America's Voice, who was there and interviewed me, America changed today. This was a changing moment. And looking after yesterday, I guess that was pretty prophetic. It was a changing moment. The amount of corruption in America today is that never seen before. I think even in the Civil War and leading up to the Civil War in America, there was this issue of slavery that was on the table. Now it's really, I'd say, communism. And you know what's ironic? It's the same gang. It's the same group. The Democrats of the South wanted their slaves and were willing to secede from the Union rather than recognize Abraham Lincoln as president. The Democrats had won the presidency like 30 years in a row because the Whigs dissolved. And with just, you know, terrible results, I'm sure. And none of those presidents does anybody really remember. Polk or some of these guys, I guess maybe Fillmore and others. Who knows who they even were, really. That's how pathetic they were. Some of them, there was a lot of states that came into the Union during those 50 or so years between 1800 and 1850 or so. But the issue of slavery was always on the table. So anyways, it was the Democrats that seceded. They would rather have their slaves in their own country. And that led to the Civil War, where there's a battle over really who owned Fort Sumner. And that started the war. And it became one of the bloodiest wars, and if not the bloodiest in U.S. history. 500,000 people died in that bloody, brutal war. Just brutal. These guys were, I've read stories about in some areas, they were fighting in some of these battles for like 8 hours straight, hand-to-hand virtually combat, where they're shooting, stabbing, kicking, biting, punching, grabbing, doing whatever they could to stay alive for 8 hours straight. And I can't imagine if somebody was able to survive that, what would be going on in their head, you know, for the rest of their lives. The amount of just adrenaline during that period too must have been just unbelievable. Other stories of one wilderness, I think it was, where Grant's troops just got burned to death. They still, the South started a fire in these shrubs where the Union troops were, and the dry sticks, and just many of them just burned to death. Just horrible stuff, horrible, bloody battles, thousands of deaths, just grotesquely terrible stuff. But the Union won, the Republican, Abraham Lincoln won, and then 2 weeks after the war was over, Lincoln was shot and killed by some sympathizers of the Confederacy attempting a coup. And we've got an attempted coup today. We had it for 4 years during the President Trump's presidency. We had a coup on November 3rd of 2020 when they stole the election from President Trump. And now they are continuing and into now the 2024 election by announcing they're going to indict Trump Tuesday in Miami. And outrageous stuff that's going on. Just simply outrageous. These people are villainous. And what I've heard and what I've shared last night on TNT was that President Trump left the office in November of 2021, or in January. And when he left, the National Archives would not assist him in removing documents that he wanted to take with him to Mar-a-Lago. Before he left, he declassified a huge swath of documents which were related to the Crossfire Hurricane, that showed, I believe, all the criminal acts by Biden, Hillary, and the Bidens, and Obama. How they set him up and how they created this Mueller exam all to just attack Trump and cover up their dirty deeds. And so they wouldn't help Trump. Then they turned around, I guess, since then and went to the DOJ and said, we're concerned about some of the documents. The DOJ goes down to Mar-a-Lago. President Trump's working with them. And as Attorney Mike Davis has said, when they raided Mar-a-Lago in August of last year, they had no reason to. It was unprecedented. It's never happened before. The president's home has been raided. An iconic home at that, Mar-a-Lago. It's a palace. I tell you, if you ever have a chance to go there, go. It's just unbelievable to see. Gold, marble, unbelievable. And they raided his house. They forced his attorney, Christina Bob, who was on our show Monday, to sit outside in the 90-degree heat in Florida and for 9 hours. They didn't give her a warrant. They finally eventually showed it to her from a distance. She couldn't get a copy. We still don't know what's in that warrant. And then they took a bunch of documents. And as we believed at the time, the documents they took were related to the crimes by the Bidens, Obamas, and Clintons. And it looks like that may still be the case. What we're found out is that the National Archives and now the DOJ will not tell Trump what documents they took, but they're saying they were classified, and that whole discussion's garbage because President Trump had every right in the world, according to the Presidential Records Act, to take whatever he wanted to with him, and that was solidified in a case with Bill Clinton, where he took some files with him, shoved them in a sock drawer. Some people tried to get them back, and he never handed them over. And the judge, a corrupt Obama judge, even sided with Bill Clinton and said, no, the president can take whatever he wants. So in that case, it's fine. In that case, they'd help Clinton move his documents. In that case, he had classified documents. All the prior presidents did. But for President Trump, for some reason, they wouldn't help him. They now are indicting him. They steal documents, then indict him for having these documents, which he had every right to have. So it's going to be a real nightmare again with this case over the next few months. And Americans may be tired of it, but we're not tired. I think the numbers for Trump now are just growing. It's just these people need to be brought to justice. So along that line, we've got some more information just overnight in the last 24 hours as far as what happened. And our good friend Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus, is going to fill us in on some breaking news related to the story. So, Adam, how you doing?
I am okay, Joe. How are you?
Well, it's been – I was really, livid last night when I first saw this news. And I can tell you, I talked to Christina Bob a few minutes ago, really, and she was very upbeat. I mean, she was just like, this is all – It's garbage. It's bogus, and it's we're gonna win. You know, we're not. You know, she just exuded confidence, and which is exactly what you'd like to hear. One news, Adam, that came out just recently is like two attorneys resigned. One of them was Jim Trusty, a former DOJ attorney. Well, I guess the reason for that, is due to the fact that he doesn't have a license in Florida. So they moved this case down to Florida, Miami, where they've indicted Trump on these bogus charges. So maybe you can fill us in on some of the latest. What's going on?
Well, what's going on is that the entire world from all sides is ignoring the real crimes committed by Joe Biden, because this is all happening at the same time that there is actual smoking gun evidence of the crimes committed by him while he was vice president. There was information that just broke, but nobody's going to hear about it because of this Trump thing. How convenient about how the ties to the Ukraine, you know, there's corruption related to Biden tied to Ukraine. And that's probably why we're hearing about 37 counts against Donald Trump. That is what it is, according to the now unsealed indictment. So now we all know, because before this, Trump himself had announced that he had been indicted. He, of course, says he's innocent. We all know what this is involving. But now we get the actual specifics. By the way, speaking of the criminal Biden, he has yet to be interviewed by the special counsel investigating the stolen classified documents he stored at the Penn Biden Center and in his Delaware garage. But that doesn't matter. We don't worry about real crimes, do we? Let's see what fake crimes that we need to accuse Trump of. They could very well be crimes, but now they have to prove that he did this and all of that. So here's what the counts are. The first 31 are just a repeat of the same thing. I love how they do that. So it's not 31 counts. It's just the same count 31 times over, right? So that's 31 counts of alleged violation of the Espionage Act or the willful retention of national security information. Well, we kind of all saw that coming. All right, so here's where it gets a little more weird and specific. Number 32 alleges that Trump and his personal aide, who's been indicted too, that would be Waltine Nata. There we go. Okay, so they say that Trump and his personal aide, Nata, engaged in, quote, conspiracy to obstruct justice, end quote, by purposely working to, quote, unquote, conceal a record, end quote. This has to do with the fact, I guess, he had Nata move them around inside the Mar-a-Lago resort from one place to another, but whatever. All right, so that's what that one is. All right, count 33. I always look at the 33 because the Illuminati number. That one alleges Trump and Nata worked together to, quote, withhold a document or record, end quote. Again, kind of related to them shuffling things around. Count 34 alleges Trump and Nata, again, worked together to hide a box of documents from a Trump attorney in violation of, quote, corruptly concealing a document or record, end quote. Guess what? This also has to do with them shuffling things around. See what they do? They just take one thing and make it into multiple things. Count 35, yet again, alleges Trump and Nata engaged in, quote, concealing a document in a federal investigation, end quote, as the two, quote unquote, hid Trump's continued possession of classified documents from the FBI during a federal investigation. Only two left, Joe. Count 36 alleges the two engaged in a, quote, unquote, scheme to conceal by hiding and concealing Trump's continued possession of classified documents during a federal investigation. I myself am getting confused. Now, number 37, the last one, alleges Trump caused, quote, false statements and representations, end quote, to be made by his attorney because he directed another attorney to move boxes around at Mar-a-Lago. So, yes, this literally has to do with them moving boxes around Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah,
this is insane.
Right.
Dude.
Right. Which he had every right in the world to take. According to the Presidential Records Act, you listen to Mike Davis, who's a pretty competent guy. He's been saying it since the day after the raid. He said this is unprecedented. It was unnecessary. Trump's team was working with the FBI. They'd been down already once and recommended that he put an additional lock on this place where these documents were stored. There was already a lock, but they said, okay, we'll put another lock on. And in addition to that, President Trump has Secret Service all over that property and private individuals that are there that he pays himself to protect his property. And we've got Joe Biden with documents found in his garage that are classified, documents found in Chinatown, all of these when he was either vice president or senator. We don't know. And we don't know what happened with these documents. I think most people believe that Biden gave them to China for some money. And that's all that Biden's about. We all know that. And that's what came out, like you said. I really appreciate your summary. I think you've done a great job there. Adam. But here's a piece of President Trump. I just looked this up. He said this in a truth, I guess, just really recently. He says, I just learned that the thugs from the Department of Injustice will be indicting a wonderful man, Walt Nauta, a member of the U.S. Navy who served proudly with me in the White House, retired as senior chief, and then transitioned into private life as a personal aide. He has done a fantastic job. They're trying to destroy his life like the lives of so many others, hoping that he will say bad things about Trump. He is strong, brave, and a great patriot. The FBI and DOJ are corrupt. So I don't know who this guy is. I guess we'll find out more over the days ahead. It's outrageous is what it is. Here's something, Adam, that I haven't mentioned yet. Two guys came out with this document over the weekend. One of them is Andrew Weissman, who ran the Mueller exam. And the other one is a guy by the name of Norm Eisen, who they say was behind this whole color revolution. And so anyways, these two guys, are, to me, I've written about both of them. They both have been involved in this coup d'etat of the Trump administration from one. And here they came out with this document, 186 pages. Basically, I'd like to compare it to what this final document is that was filed in Miami, because it looks like they put it all together and handed it over to the public and recommending that Merrick Garland, you know, indict President Trump on very similar charges. And here's the other thing. So that to me is like, okay, these same swamp monsters are behind this. And then the other thing that grabs me is this, like they say, many of these crimes they're saying are based on the fact that there was an original crime, but there is no crime. President Trump can't break, like I've heard Davis, he can't break the Espionage Act. He's the one that can classify and declassify documents. It's insane what they are saying, that these documents he had no right to have and that he in any way could be held liable for having them. It's so I guess we'll see how this plays out. It's really frustrating, though. These people are really, really, really bad people. I hope America starts waking up to just how absolutely corrupt these people. I heard our friend Liz Harrington say in an interview this morning, just you know, well, here's the deal, and we've got an open border, we've got a DOJ that's absolutely corrupt, we've got all these things going on, and then they throw this down because Trump's way ahead in the polls. It's unbelievable. Adam, final thoughts?
Yeah, I'll remind everyone, none of this means a hill of beans. This doesn't mean he committed a crime. It doesn't mean he's a criminal. This is just, yet again, an indictment. And I'll remind you all, you can prove this for yourself, an indictment is simply a formal accusation that a person has committed a crime. It doesn't mean they actually did. So calm down, everybody, and let's not be so distracted by this. And instead, when someone wants to talk to you about, isn't that awful what Trump did? Why don't we remind them what Biden did and continues to do? That's all I have to say, Joe. Yeah. Have a great weekend.
Amen. Perfect. Thank you, Adam. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much for this. Really great job. And we'll be right back with my good friend Tony Schaefer, Lieutenant Colonel, retired Tony Schaefer, to talk about this situation and more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You should hear what Chris Smith is talking about.
And as just as learned scribes are writing in-depth stories today on the genetic anomaly and why it could reasonably lead to the death of at least two of the four children Kathleen was convicted of killing, out comes the Herald to damage her further. This is what they do, you see, when their previous persecutions look a little bit shabby years down the track. They keep piling on the poo. They try not to lose face to protect their editorial crucifixions. Oh, no. This is how the editorial desk works, you see. What are we going to do if she gets off this? What have we got to smash her up? That's how it works. And so today, there it was, a huge story revealing who Kathleen Folbick's father was. Quote, Thomas John Britton was a criminal and a brute. He worked as an enforcer for underworld figures such as Lenny McPherson and was known for capping knees, breaking legs and putting his hands to his co-workers' throats. Now, that last bit of detail about the throats subtly alludes to the criminal court judge's belief that Folbig likely smothered her children, depriving them of oxygen. The connection would have convinced some people reading it today that Kathleen was still guilty because evil runs in the family, right?
Chris Smith on TNT Radio.
When you can point me to an industry, to a platform that reaches 250 million people a month, virtually 9 out of 10 Americans, that's real. That's substantive. That's important. And that reach and that touch point and that daily reinforcement, it's an amazing place to be able to communicate messages. That's massive.
To find out more, go to tntradio.live. The FBI is orchestrating plots, riots, and massacres
in an attempt to justify the nullification of your constitutional rights.
Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And we are back with the Joe Hoff Show, and I'm very happy and feel like it's the timeliness on this is just perfect to introduce a good friend and an American hero, former Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer from the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, welcome to the Joe Hoff Show.
Hey, Joe. I'm still Lieutenant Colonel. I'm not former. Just saying.
Oh, really?
I'm retired. Okay, I'm retired. Yeah. They didn't fire me, thank God. They tried. They did try, yeah. But I wasn't fired. So I'm still technically a colonel.
Oh, great. So
it is great. It is great. I'm retired. I get pay. I get free medical.
Not great.
I get to yell at generals and they yell back at me. It's always fun.
Well, that's great. That's great news. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for correcting me on that. Sorry about that.
Yes, Jim. Come on. It's funny to talk about stuff like this. You know that. I mean,
yeah.
Joe, they're always after us. You know that. It's always like a cat and mouse game.
Oh, yeah. And I'm so anxious to hear, what I was hoping to discuss today and thinking, and we still can, is this whole episode with Jesse Morgan that you looked into that we've talked about before on air. But then, last night we get this bomb dropped on America from the corrupt left, and we certainly need to discuss that as well. But what do you think? Should we start with Jesse Morgan and what happened there?
Well, it's all related. It's like one big spider web. It's like these are all strands of the same web. And first off, Joe, I can tell you never doubted me, right? I mean, you didn't need the report to know that I was telling the truth, right?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Yeah. And I felt like, what really sold me on the guy, I'll tell you, was when I saw that, I guess, presentation where they introduced Jesse to the world. And when they said, this guy's in recovery and he's got a thing in his past, but he's still coming out to say this, and that his girls didn't, he had two or three little girls, and they didn't know that daddy spent time in prison because for drugs.
Right.
And yet he still came out and did this, and he had to face his girls after that.
Exactly.
I thought, that sold me. I'm sold.
And I felt terrible because, you know, I had to introduce those facts to him because, you know, as we were going up, we had to fly up on a private jet to meet him in the middle of Pennsylvania. I was having investigations done on him. So we knew all this. So when we went in, we sat down with him. And Joe, I had to tell the guys, like, look, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I've got nearly, you know, back then it was just a tick under 30. Now I'm at 31 as of 15th of this month. And I said, look, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I know you have issues.
Congrats.
Tell me what happened.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. No, look, 31 years. I am wow. shocked, Joe. 31.
I know.
Yeah. Who'd have thought? 31 years. Anyway.
Yeah.
Back to Jesse. So I presented this to him, like, as someone who's been down that path, tell me what happened. And he did. And so I said, look, if you go public, we're going to have to get this out there. And by gosh, he did it. He had the courage of his sobriety to tell the truth and know that he's going to be pilloried for this past. But he did it anyway. So to me, nobody, Joe, does that unless they're completely committed to telling the truth. Nobody's going to go through that trial by fire. And he did it anyway. And there was no gain in it for him. He just did it because he thought it was the right thing. So I appreciate your observation on that. Mm. And then, of course, the report that we're talking about here, the report you guys published in the Gateway Pundit, talks about the overall IG report from the Postal Service, which basically confirmed everything Jesse told me in my initial investigation. And what's interesting, and let me remind your audience of this, the bad guy in this story is the guy who first off prevented me from getting Jesse Morgan whistleblower protection, because by all accounts, to include now validated by the report, he was a whistleblower. He reported on things which were at minimum anomalous, at maximum criminal, which I think it's criminals what they were. He reported on them. He was forced to go in to talk to the FBI and protected. And the guy who basically ordered me to turn him over, which I didn't do, and I got fired, was Bill Barr, former then sitting Attorney General of the United States. So you got to ask yourself, Joe, why would the Attorney General call me, a private citizen engaged in a lawful investigation of what was clearly voter fraud? Why would he order me to do something that was clearly illegal? That is to say, to turn this man over, Jesse Morgan, over to the FBI without any legal protection, without whistleblower protection. Why would he do that? And then when I refused, why was I fired within 10 minutes of off the project when I refused to do it? There's some pretty big questions there that need to be answered still.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, for those listening for the first time, Jesse Morgan came out after the election and said, hey, I had been moving this trailer back and forth for the Postal Service between New York.
Yeah, full 53 foot trailer. Yeah.
Yeah, between New York and Pennsylvania. And one day I go there and they fill it up with all these ballots. And it didn't strike him at the time until he, by the end of the day, a lot of fishy things happened throughout the day, as I recall. But then at the end of that day, they told him to park his trailer in a certain lot. And the next morning when he went there to go get his trailer, it was gone.
And abandon it. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And abandon it. So let me go through real quick. So I did the investigation, just a quick summary. So Jesse ran a route 4 times a week from Bethpage, New York, to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, moving what we call bulk mail in a 53-foot, one of those big old rigs you see on the road. He was a contract carrier. And then one day, out of the blue, the postal person at the post office in Bethpage said, oh, you've got the special truck. It's like, what do you mean by that? Oh, you've got the ballots. It's like, what? So he didn't really give it much thought at the time, like to your point, Joe, and he drove it down. And next thing you know, he gets to Lancaster, which is his endpoint. They won't take it. They won't let him park it. It's like, no, you have to stay in there. And so he had to go see a supervisor before they would do anything. And this was completely anomalous by the fact that everywhere they go in the postal system, Joe, everything is documented. Every time you show up somewhere, you have to log in and they give you a piece of paper, a chit. So he gave us those. It's like, hey, look, I did all this and I recorded everything. So when we went to the Postal Service and said, look, he's got evidence that he did what he said he did, this all could have been resolved literally in 48 hours. It could have been. And then the next anomaly was he was told, Joe, to move his trailer to a remote mail station and abandon it full of mail. You never do that. Every piece of mail, no matter how big or small, how many parcels, is always accountable. He was directed to do something which is illegal. You cannot dump your trailer in an unspecified location without being in a secure area. You can't do that. But they ordered him to do it. They ordered him to do it, and he had to do it, or else he was threatened with his job. So that's how far off the normal trail they were on this. And he reported it. He reported it. And he was the one that got in trouble. And then when we tried to put it out there, I tried to get him whistleblower protection, and I got fired. So there's something still to all of this.
Well, yeah. And so did you have a chance to look at that report that came out this week? Then finally, the Postal Service comes out with this report on their investigation into this. But it's my opinion, Tony, is that I looked through it. I noticed London Center. So I realized one of these people they were interviewing was you. But it was so redacted. You just can't, you know, these people are such snakes. They redact everything.
Of course.
So you can't understand what's in there. Nobody could. So what were your thoughts?
It basically confirms the basic premise, though, that the anomalies happened, and what's behind the black is the confirmation of everything we just talked about the pallets being moved, about deviations from process. Someone literally, Joe, could go to jail for what happened to Jesse. Those things that he was directed to do by individuals should put someone in jail, because those are federal crimes. The moment you start moving mail in ways which are illegal, when you abandon trailers of mail, 53-foot trailer mail, who does that? Who abandons a 53-foot trailer of mail? Nobody does that. That literally would put someone in jail. That's why you saw so much redactions.
Do you think that the these guys that were spoken to at the Postal Service, sounds like they were higher ups. Do you think they were in on it? Do you think they knew what was going on?
Of course, I do. I do. I think the entire Postal Union was, like many other left-wing unions, fully vetting. Not everybody in the whole union, but those at the top and those they picked below them to facilitate this. Remember, this wasn't the only place, Joe, that they were doing this. They did this in a number of key swing states, and I would include Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, obviously, and Georgia into those groups that were engaged in this sort of behavior. And I think this was done at least in three or four different locations where they had these mass trucks come in. I don't think Jesse's truck was the only one in Pennsylvania, for example. I think there was probably one or two more.
Well, this is a good segue for me to mention, I've written now two books on the election steal from 2020 called The Steal, and I've coming out with my third one. And the first one was setting the stage, what happened before the election. My last book was about what happened and all these anomalies that just are, as from an auditing perspective, as you know, I'm a professional auditor, spent, you know, years, 10 years over in Hong Kong running a shop. And this stuff's, you know, from an I came to the conclusion, this election never should have been certified. Absolutely not.
Right.
It never would be in the corporate world. Never could we get away with stuff like this and be able to sign off on the numbers and say, yeah, everything's fine. Absolutely not. And but then now this third book that's coming out hopefully in about a week, and I have to get you some copies, Tony, when I get them all, when this last one comes out. I have in there, it's about the cover-up. And really, one of my first chapters is, And here's kind of the thesis. Well, we went to law enforcement and they turned their head. Then we went to the legislatures, Republican legislatures, and they turned their head. Then we went to the courts and they turned their head. Then we went to January 6th and Pence turned his head. And then we start looking back at some of the other things that are going on, which will blow you away. Now there's a whole new, I'd say a new level of election equipment now that's being produced, where they have the ability now across the country using these poll pads, they're actually selling a module where they will tell people where an election, what the status is of an election up to date, like right now. You can't tell me that bad actors aren't going to have access to that and going to start manipulating ballots. The same systems connected to the voter rolls. You can change voter rolls. The same systems got a print on demand functionality. And all of this is being sold by about three or four different companies, and it's in most states now. And there's no audit of this stuff. There's no nothing. And that's you know, so while conservatives and the Republicans are talking about going out and getting more ballots, you know, doing better job bringing people to the table, these guys have moved on to now like the next generation of election theft, in my opinion.
Right.
And you know, we're so, you know, it's unbelievable.
No, I'm with you. Look, I believe, and I testify to the Pennsylvania legislation at least a half a dozen, I think eight times, Texas as well, Florida, South Carolina, Georgia. I've been to all these states where I've tried to call for the return to analog systems using hand-marked paper ballots. That's it. That are auditable. You do spot audits, and you do not have anything that's automated. I mean, the simple fact is, Joe, the moment you automate something, it can be hacked. If it can be hacked, it can be manipulated for purposes of gain. That's it. And I've said this over and over. People know what I'm saying to be true. And yet you see this wholesale, even the Republicans are just saying, well, you know, it's just too hard to do. No, it's not too hard to do. If you want to secure the future, you got to secure the present.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. And that's what all Europe does and everything else. So it makes all the sense in the world. And and basically, that's you know, we've got some work to do before 2024 for sure.
Right.
But it's just amazing, I guess. But jumping back to the chapter on the on law enforcement. Well, in Pennsylvania, for example, they locked us out of the room, and they did so in Detroit and other places, Philadelphia, and for 3 days we didn't know what was going on there. And then all of a sudden, Joe Biden's given the win with making up about an 800,000 vote deficit in 3 days. And clearly, it's something was going on, but we couldn't see it. And that's why it never should have been certified. But Bill Barr turned his back. He turned his back on that. He turned his back on Jesse Morgan. And he turned his back on Detroit, where they're saying, hey, we saw ballots being, you know, coming underneath the center there in a white van. We got videotape. The Gateway Pundit actually found that. And they wouldn't give it to us till after the inauguration, by the way. But we finally did get the tape and saw, yeah, sure enough, that van went down there at least two times, maybe three times at 4 a.m. And Bill Barr says this is normal. And then the whole incident in Georgia, too, where they're saying these people were there, people got kicked out, and then people were counting ballots, you know, all alone, nobody there, ramming them through these tabulators, et cetera, multiple times. And Bill Barr, I guess, said that he looked at that, too. But there has been an effort. One group did a FOIA request on all this and give us any information on any federal investigations related to the election. And none of these key state locations came up with anything. They said, we do not have anything. So that's
telling us
they didn't do it.
They said that all they were trying to do is catch, is basically, what was that term? Capture and kill and capture. All they were trying to do is have all the different people with leads, like myself and others, come to them and say, oh, yes, we've got a team investigating, turn over the leads to us. And I think, honestly, Joe, that's why they came after me so hard, because we didn't just turn over the lead. We completely developed the investigation. It was ready to go. Plus, I don't know if I mentioned before, I actually had a hybrid task force prepared to launch in and continue it that included U.S. Marshals. I don't want to say who they were because I don't want to get them in trouble, but I had U.S. Marshals prepared to join my investigation whenever they had the green light for when they were told to join, because, you know, obviously we wanted to turn it over to law enforcement, and we were ready to brief the Postal Service investigators with the U.S. Marshals on how to do a combined hybrid investigation. And, you know, it's clear that that's the last thing Bill Barr wanted, was an independent federal investigative unit coming in to take the FBI place, because he said, no, you need to use the FBI. It's like, I'm not using the FBI. I actually had it out with him on this. We yelled at each other. You have to, Colonel Schaefer, you have to turn it over to the FBI. It's like, I don't have to do anything. I have U.S. Marshals I've talked to who are willing to come in and do the investigation. You don't understand. They're not authorized. Like, well, I'm just telling you that I don't trust the FBI. You shouldn't either. Well, apparently, Joe, I guess he trusted the FBI to do what he told him, which was sandbag and make these things go away.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's what he did in Georgia as well. Everywhere. Just, you know, we're not going to look. I think it was pretty clear he wasn't going to look at anything. It was just really disgusting. It's just, you know, so we didn't have a prayer. I look back and people criticized Rudy and they criticized Sidney Powell. And none of these people need to be. They did great jobs. They had little time to put their cases together. They were absolutely spot on. We didn't have a prayer. We didn't have a prayer.
No.
It was, and so we know next election, well, we have to win it up front. But here's the thing too, about this whole harvesting thing, you know, BS, is that President Trump won like 5 million votes. Nobody had ever broken 70 million. He crushed it.
Right.
He crushed it for president. His numbers were unbelievable. This lie that Biden got 81 million is grotesque. It's not
well.
True.
If you count the dead from the past century, I guess if all the dead voted, sure. I mean, you know, if you're counting ludicrous dead voters, of course, it counts.
Yeah.
80. You know, Democrats count dead voters as voters. So yeah I guess he got another 10 million to 11 million dead voters.
That's right.
You know,
yeah,
well, probably closer to 20 million dead voters.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so. At least. Yeah. I think. Yeah.
At least.
At best, he got 60 million. If Hillary got 65, which is probably questionable, at best he got 60. But nobody
was following.
I agree with you.
You know? No, I think it's actually probably accurate.
Yeah. I did a study. Well, I kept track of the rally attendance between Labor Day and Election Day. I had a spreadsheet. You know, numbers guy, I got to do this kind of stuff. You know, it makes me happy.
And
I ended up finally on election day, tallied it up. Joe Biden had less than 2,000 people at his events. That, you know, these things with circles on the floor, just ridiculous, you know, jokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
President to President Trump's 1.1 million people in attendance.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me that Biden got 81 million? I mean, it's just lunacy.
He did.
It's lunacy. And these guys
anybody
are doing
believes
it now.
That, something wrong.
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah. Same
They're
thing.
Doing it now.
So to that point, I mean, look, the whole thing with Biden, Biden has cheated, the left has cheated their entire career. I went in and by the way, I briefed, I think I talked to you about this both on and off air. I briefed Rudy Giuliani a full 30 days before the election. And Rudy cited what you just said, Joe. He said, basically, look, we know the numbers are so great in favor of Trump. We're not worried about it. We're not worried about them cheating. And it's like, I sat there, it's like, what? Excuse me? I swear to God. And I got a shiver up my spine. It's like, there's something wrong here if Rudy really believes. And Rudy just said, yeah, we know this, but we're not worried about it. So.
Yeah, well, he knew they'd. I remember him saying this too. He knows. He goes, well, we got to give up like a. Yeah, he said, well, there's 100,000 in Pennsylvania, but we think we're going to blow that away. So he knew they were cheating for sure.
But they knew what he knew, and they tried to exceed it. That's why they did what they did. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think about this big news from last night? It's kind of switching topics here, but yeah. How did that hit you? Were you upset about that or no?
That's like So I'm not a constitutional scholar, Joe, but I know a lot of them. Yeah. I know Bruce Fein. I know Louis Gohmert. Louis and I are close friends.
Yeah.
There's no authority for what they're indicting Trump on. Trump is a Article II officer. That means as a principal, as the guy who actually can classify or declassify anything, you can't hold him to a standard that he sets or doesn't set. It's insane. Any document that existed during the time he was president or he left office with, he can have. He's the guy. It's like saying to a guy who runs a butcher shop, hey, you know, I know you butchered that cow when you took the meat home, but, you know, you got to give it back because, geez, you know, we don't agree that you should have kept the meat that you chopped up. It's like, what? He's a freaking butcher. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And that's the same here. So the whole thing is fallacious. And as you pointed out, your person pointed out as I was coming on, you know, it's only indictment. This is what we call color of law. This is wrongdoing under color of law. They're using the legal U.S. justice system against someone in a way that is not intended. This is illegal. This whole action is illegal. There's no legal predicate or foundation when the very guy who can declassify anything, but just basically removes documents while he's president, he cannot be held accountable, period, because he sets the standard. That's it. That's the bottom line. And I think if it ever gets to the Supreme Court, it's going to be thrown out instantly.
Wow. Well, I did talk to Christina Bob a little bit ago, and she was pretty upbeat about it, which really helped me a lot because she said, yeah, this is ridiculous. Don't worry.
It is.
You know, it's just ridiculous.
It is.
Yeah.
All they're trying to do is bog him down right now. I'm not picking a candidate to support. I've been asked by several campaigns to potentially jump in and advise. But I'm just saying that no matter how you feel about Trump, this is the illegal use of the U.S. justice system. This is weaponization to go after him regarding something he sets the standard on. And if he says he declassified those documents, that's it. That's the end of the story. That's all he has to say. It's like, I declassified these documents when I was president. That's it. It's done. There's no other legal predicate or authority that goes over that. It's literally that done. There's nothing that can over.
Well, even then, could he say to himself, I'm declassifying these and I'm taking them with me?
Of course. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. No, there's no form. He's the authority. He decides if there's a form or not. Literally, he's like God in this issue. That's it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
No higher authority.
I've heard that, and I've also heard, this Mike Davis, attorney Mike Davis, has been on Bannon's War Room, and he's been very adamant since the day after the election, or after the Mar-a-Lago raid, that, hey, this was unprecedented, it was unnecessary, and it was unlawful what they did, raiding President Trump.
It is unlawful. Action under the color of law, absolutely.
Yeah. And actually, there was this theory, and I remember writing about it early on, right after the raid, was that they went there to take back documents that Trump took with him that showed and proved all their massive corruption.
I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, to me, Trump should if he had that, he should have used it. So I'm just saying, seen some pretty boneheaded moves out of the Trump administration. That would have been one of them. It's like, you got that stuff, dump it. I mean, come on. Yeah. Look, I was recommending to Rudy that he fire Ray fire Gina Haspel. Oh, yeah. I had a list of folks. I said, if you want to try to preserve the victory, you need to fire these folks because they're going to be part of the effort to undermine the outcome of the election. Yeah. And I gave him a list. I don't want to go through all the names because some of those names have not been revealed. But I'm telling you right now, I gave him a list of about 15, 20 names saying, if you guys want to stop this coup against you, these are the people you have to take out. And they didn't do it. Wouldn't do it.
Was Bill Barr on that list?
No, he was not, surprisingly enough. No, Barr was not on that list. Barr was not on that list.
Well, up to that time, we were kind of indifferent. He hadn't done anything since he shut down the Mueller exam. But there was, because he did that, there was, I guess, some hope that he was somewhat intelligent and was going to do something. But,
that's correct.
But I guess we should have known, because then it was a year and year and a half, and he did nothing. He put in Durham, which we now know was just seems like a just – you know, BS as well.
It's like, oh yeah, we confirm everything, it was all wrongdoing, but the statute of limitations already passed, so we can't do anything.
What garbage.
It was to protect the infrastructure and bureaucracy.
What garbage. So I'm not a big fan of Bill Barr's either. I was really pretty.
I just don't like upset about these attorney generals yelling at me and getting me fired. You know, Joe, it's not something. I just don't dig those things. It's just not. It's not something I appreciate. Yeah.
And it's not like you're not a good friend of another attorney general, right? Ed Meese is a friend of yours, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes, I just saw it a few weeks ago. No, look, I've gotten yelled at by the best of people in positions of authority, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, chief of staff of the president of the United States. I've been yelled at by quite a few folks, but I've always been right after they got done yelling, just saying. They can yell at me all they want, but I'm always correct. That's right. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You're totally on spot with this one. So what do you think about Biden and his efforts with all these documents that he's had? And think that this effort last night is just kind of to change the narrative?
So those documents we're talking about that Biden had were actually part of the bribery scheme. I do believe that another Joe Biden and Jim Biden, it's interesting, you know, obviously, that Jim was intimately involved with Hunter in these business dealings. I believe he and Hunter were both receiving these high-level intelligence reports, mostly on Ukraine, because they were paid off. They paid for access to all these high-level intelligence reports. So it's all related. That's why, you know, they're sandbagging this. I'm telling you, Joe, they're sandbagging this. They don't want it to go fast because they know this is all linked. Those classified documents that they caught Biden with were all related to Burisma, Ukraine, and senior level intelligence estimates done under the Obama White House that were being leaked espionage to the Ukrainian companies we're talking about. It's all linked. Why do you think they paid $5 million to Biden? They paid for this intelligence. That's part of it. And then the access to the policy changes, which they asked for. This makes Spiro Agnew look like a Boy Scout. Level of wrongdoing.
But I actually now, since Trump was in office, I really think looking back, it looks like it was a setup for Nixon as well. It's similar to what they tried to do with Trump. It was just a
replay. No, I agree.
CIA being behind it. I talked to Roger Stone. He said like three out of the four individuals that raided Watergate were CIA, something like that.
I don't doubt that at all. Yeah, no, I don't doubt that.
And now looking back at Kennedy's assassination as well. So looks like this deep state's been running for some time.
Well, I put a request in to talk to RFK. I do want to talk to him about that. And I've made comments on this too on other shows. I think there's something to that. I think he's on the right track. I think this deep state stuff goes back before you and I were born. I think this started back during Eisenhower and went forward. I think Eisenhower helped set it up inadvertently and regretted it. That's why he did the military industrial congressional complex speech. And I think he recognized that he'd made some mistakes. So.
It's pretty scary. I mean, all this stuff and here they are again, really hammering the next, the 2024 election already, like they're saying. I hadn't really thought of that, but 2016, 2020, now 2024.
Yeah. Look, I don't know if you know,
by these same guys.
So if you remember, you and Jim had me come out and do that talk there in St. Louis, and I talked about the permanent coup. And I think you both thought I was pretty crazy. It's like, what? It's like, no, this 2016 was supposed to be a permanent coup where basically the federal government became permanently subordinated to the Democrat Party. And it would always be the appearance of fairness. Oh, yeah, gee, it's just a shame. You almost got it done, but you lost again. And so I believe that's exactly what they're trying to do now. Just they have to be more desperate and blatant about it to show that they need to have control of everything. And that's why they're going after Trump so hard right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, geez, a lot to think about here. You know, kind of jumping back to Jesse Morgan, I remember while this whole thing was going on, and I was going to mention this earlier, Jesse went on Lou Dobbs. Lou Dobbs is a great guy who seemed to,
I know. I know Lou. I'm very, 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 I love Lou. Lou's a great guy. So.
I guess so. But he had Jesse on, and Jesse started talking about how this deep state, they came to his house, and he goes,
yeah, no doubt.
He's about crying. Jesse Morgan's a big, thick guy. He looks like on TV, anyways. He looks like
he's a wrestler. He's like a wrestler. Yes, I've been in the room with him. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Big guy. Not a weak person by any means.
He looked like he was
about ready to cry on Dobbs' show. He talked about
because
how
I think
FBI
so much
to his house.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think he, like others, really got I had an awakening of how evil the federal government is, the deep state is, because they don't care about fairness or integrity or what the republic stands for. They are about brute force and destroying anybody who gets in the way of what they believe to be right. So
absolutely. And so they interview him, and they weren't saying, okay, so what happened? Tell us about this. They were saying, who told you to say this? They were accusing him of lying.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I saw Lou Dobbs on TV in about 1 minute turn Jesse around. He just said some things like, Jesse, you know, basically it's nice to know that I'd love to see it again. It was, you know, just basically, I can see that you're a strong man, and that you're doing the right thing, and that you know you're doing the right thing. It just built him up over 1 minute, and just lifted him. And it was an amazing sequence to see that. But it was also shocking to see how this deep state that now we know has been, and like you said, I learned a lot. I mean, I knew it was corrupt when Comey came out in his famous speech and told everybody all the crimes Hillary did, and that he was not going to do anything. At that point, it was like, well, and during Obama's years too, there was too much stuff that he's getting away with that it's just like,
of course,
where is our FBI? What's going on here?
Right.
And then here we are, you know, and it's all led up to today. You know, one thing I read over the weekend, and it was at Conservative Treehouse, but I wrote about it yesterday, was the fact that both Andrew Weissman and this guy by the name of Norm Eisen, who was part of the Viva La Resistance crowd.
Oh, I know who he is. Yeah, he's a crazy guy.
You know, yeah, and Obama's ethics czar, just a nut
ethics.
Job.
And ethics.
No kidding. Ethics. No kidding. Yeah. Perfect for Obama, though. That just says it all. And this guy and Weissman and some guy from Britain and a couple others wrote this 186-page document. They put it out there, and it's basically – to me, it looks like here's your case against Trump related to Mar-a-Lago. And here it is. That came out on over the weekend. And here it is, Thursday night, basically Trump's indicted. And I'd like to see the comparison between the two, because it looks like they just prepared it all. And I thought, yeah, this looks like Weissman, because I've heard other people talk about Andrew Weissman, what a snake he is in the DOJ.
Oh, yeah.
And President Trump, they took these documents from Trump, and apparently they've never told him. They won't tell him what the documents are. Trump doesn't even know what they took. They won't tell him.
No, I know. It's like it's very Kafka-esque. It really is. It really is. No, they have become the American Gestapo. Why should we tell you what crime you committed? You committed the crime because we said so. That's it.
It's you're spot on.
Well,
it's just,
why should we tell you? You committed the crime. We're telling you committed the crime. That's it. Why should I share anything else with you?
Yeah. And that's how they are. And that's Weissman. Yeah. He's been doing that for 30 years in his cases.
Right.
Yeah, he's making stuff up too. He makes stuff up. Says, well, this is here's the crime. No, that's not a crime. Like you said, no, this is the guy that decides what's classified. How can you accuse him of having stuff that's classified or unclassified? And when he has the Presidential Records Act, did he have every reason to have whatever?
It's literally impossible. Yeah, it's literally impossible.
Yeah, unbelievable. Any final thoughts, Tony, before we go here?
So, well, no, I always enjoy our conversations. I'd like to get back into the Jesse Morgan thing, as we've talked about both on and off air. I think it's something. There's something there to be resolved. I think the U.S. Postal Service needs to be held accountable. We approached them. We wanted to work with them cooperatively. Bill Barr needs to be held accountable. I think he destroyed Jesse Morgan's life. We tried to get Jesse whistleblower protection. I was ordered to turn him over. I refused to do it. Phil Klein turned him over. I think Phil Klein needs to be kind of held to account on this too. A lot of things have to be unraveled still, Joe. So thanks for highlighting all of this.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Tony. Can't wait to talk to you again.
You.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You take good care. All right. This is Joe Hoff Show. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back Monday. Thank you, Tony.